Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise McIntyre, your host. And if you've joined us before on Steppin' Out Radio, we tell true stories of people that have overcome all sorts of adversity in their lives, very often issues with substances, whether it be alcohol, drugs, it could be food, it could be sex, it could be just about everything. And we also bring you the stories of the friends and family of those. But today we're going to do a story that unfortunately is something that many of us have struggled with, myself included. It's the addiction to cigarettes or nicotine or tobacco or however you will. I myself smoked for probably 13 years, and it was the hardest thing ever to give up. But we have with us here a gentleman, Ray. His name is Ray. He's from Louisiana. And Ray began a smoking habit when he was just 15 years old, when many of us did. And his habit would last 40 years, eventually smoking up to 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. And by his mid-50s, which is when it usually happens, it happened to my mom, Ray started to develop serious health problems. So after he had a heart stent put in at 56 years old, his doctor told him he would actually die if he didn't quit. So Ray followed his doctor's orders, wanting to live, and he looked for a way to stop smoking. And Ray is 59 now. He's been smoke-free for 4 years. He's married. He has 3 grandchildren. He retired from a 17-year career in law enforcement. So he's here to share with us his long struggle with addiction to smoking and how he discovered a safer nicotine delivery product called Swedish Snus, and it enabled him to quit smoking completely. And I want to be very upfront that we don't, on Steppin' Out Radio, the opinions, you know, however anybody chooses to quit or theirs alone, we don't endorse anything. But we do like to bring to the forefront different ways for people to get well and heal. And that's what we're going to start with Ray. So, Ray, welcome to Steppin' Out Radio.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so on Steppin' Out Radio, Ray, we begin at the beginning. And I guess your beginning might be at 15 years old or even maybe before then when you saw parents smoke or loved ones or whatever. So if you could start at the beginning of your smoking, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, sure. Once again, my name is Ray, as stated earlier, and I'm from Southwest Louisiana. I'm a 59-year-old male who started smoking at the age of 15. I'll soon make 60 in August. And before I quit smoking cigarettes, I was smoking about 2.5 packs a day. I found that I was addicted to the nicotine. I didn't want to do without it. However, I was willing at the time to accept the shortness of breath, the incessant coughing when going to bed and when first getting up, the inability to smell and taste things completely, mm-hmm. and the smell of cigarette smoke on my clothing, in my home, etc. Overall, I felt rather sluggish most of the time, especially in the later years of smoking.
But if you don't mind, Ray, can you bring us back to the beginning, though?
Sure.
Because we're going to get to where you finally had had it and your doctor told you better quit. But what were your early years like? Like, did your mom smoke? Did your dad smoke? Did your whole family smoke?
Mom and dad both smoked and probably smoked up until about the same age that I am now before both of them quit for health reasons as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, when I started, it was because I was in high school and just fixing to graduate, and it was the cool thing to do, or so we thought, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Started out with just a pack would last me a couple of weeks, and that increased, and it's a very addictive drug, so it causes you to want more and more. And there seems to be certain times in life when we go through some trauma or whatnot or stressful situations when it seems to calm that, which is only a crutch. That actually doesn't solve anything, but it seems to at the time. It's the mind game that it plays with your brain.
And now you're similar to my age, and I smoked too. It started at about your age, 15, 16. Do you recall if we knew that it was bad for us, but we did it anyway? Just because we wanted to look cool? I think our parents didn't know, but I think we did.
I think we did, but I think, well, you could see the ill effect in our grandparents that smoked.
Right.
Some of the same symptoms that I admitted to earlier. you could see that result in them. And also, my mom wasn't so bad. My dad was a truck driver at the time, and so he smoked incessantly.
Yeah, and both my parents died from smoking, too. Which, so I'm really, you know, this unfortunately is very close to.
Yeah, I mean, I knew about it, but you know, when you're young, you think you're invincible. And
did most of your friends smoke? Because most of mine did.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And I think it's at that age, at the young age of 15, I think it's more about peer pressure and being cool.
Right.
Than it is about actually knowing what you're doing to your body.
And I don't think cigarettes, you know, in today's dollars were that expensive either. I mean,
oh, absolutely not.
People smoke now and it's over $10 a pack. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Like, yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
That's crazy, you know. So, okay, so the years went on, and you said in the beginning you only maybe bought a pack and smoked every couple of weeks.
Yeah, every couple of weeks, and it would last me a very long time. Of course, at the time, my parents didn't know that I smoked, and being that they did smoke, they didn't smell it on me when I did.
And so you hid it from them
in
the beginning?
Right, I hid it from them in the beginning until I was in college. So I would have been about 18, 19 years old.
Okay.
And that was only because I got busted smoking.
Right. And oh, so you weren't allowed to smoke in college?
No. They frowned upon it because they knew how addictive it was and the health effects that it had. And well, actually, it's kind of funny the way that it happened, but I was in a car accident a week after high school graduation, and they found a pack of cigarettes in the lighter in the car.
So
they questioned me about it. Of course, I had to fess up.
Oh, you didn't say it was my friends. What are you kidding? It's not mine.
I've always been an honest person, sometimes to my own detriment.
Well, that's good. So what? how did your parents react to the news?
Well, of course, they wanted me to quit, you know, but they knew how hard it is to quit. And at that time, there wasn't as many things out there to assist you in quitting as there are nowadays.
Did your brothers and sisters, if you had any, quit, or were they smokers?
Unfortunately, I'm an only child, so I didn't have to.
Well, that's nice to be an only child. What about your aunts, uncles, cousins? Were you a family of smokers?
Family of smokers. All my aunts and uncles smoked.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Most of my cousins, not all.
So your parents were upset that you know, they found out you smoked in college. And how did your smoking go through the college years? Like, it started increasing?
It continued on and into my later adult life, you know. I mean, I'm not going to deny it. Of course, you know, they would ask me to quit, but in a loving way. Nothing that was, you know, I was 19 years old and was considered old enough to be on your own, pretty much. And at 19, I was married and, well, on my way to adulthood.
Oh, so you got married young. I was just going to ask
married,
you.
Yeah, that's young. Married. Not because she was pregnant or anything. I just thought I was in love. So.
Well, good for you. But, like, because I was going to say, if you got married older, very often times, like, somebody you date might say, oh, that makes me sick, or, you know, you got to quit, or, you know. But so what was your wife? Did she smoke?
Yes, she smoked, too, at the time.
Okay, so you were...
She as well. She's now deceased, but not from that.
I'm sorry.
Hers were some heart issues. Yeah, she passed away. My first wife, which we were divorced at the time, but when she passed, it was in 2000, so 16 years ago.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. We're going to find out what happened to Ray next and how his smoking continued, but how he eventually was able to stop and get healthier. You're listening to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm speaking to Ray from Lafayette, Louisiana. And if you want to check out more stories like Ray's or stories about alcohol issues or opioid or friends and family or eating, you can check out our website. Go to www.steppingoutradio.com. You can sign up for our free newsletter. We'd love you to sign up for our free newsletter. And we also have a new mobile app. So please take the time and download it to whether you have, it works on Android, it works on iPhones, and it's great. It's just these great stories categorized. You're going to love it. So please check that out. And again, go to steppingoutradio.com. We're going to be back with more stories of inspiration and hope. And we're going to hear how Ray was able to, you know, get his 40-year habit to smoking under control. We'll be back with more up next. Welcome back to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise McEntee, your host, And today we have a really interesting topic and a very timely one because it affects so many people, not just even in the United States, but worldwide. And as much as I thought, and we are getting better about it, but we still have this country and again, countries around the world have an issue with an addiction to cigarettes or tobacco, if you will, or nicotine. And I had it myself. And it was, like I said, it was very, very hard to quit. I have to say, probably if it wasn't bad for you, although now it's $10 a pack, I might even smoke again. But that's how strong the addiction is, you know, for what it does to you. But it can be done. I haven't smoked in 28 years. Ray hasn't smoked in quite a while. And the good news is your health really improves. So, Ray, last we left, you got married young. You and your wife smoked. And how did your life go along that way? Was it getting harder to smoke? Because I know what happened to me when I first started working, everybody smoked. And by the time the years went on, everybody had quit. You couldn't smoke in a restaurant. You had to go downstairs. You know, everything had changed. But in your circle, were most people smoking still?
Most people were still smoking still. And I think the push here for a smoke-free environment became later on, not quite as early as what you're indicating where you were at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the thing for the South or what it is. But anyway, I would say probably mid-80s to late 80s is probably when we started to get a pretty strong push here in the South, in the Louisiana area specifically, my hometown specifically, where they were really encouraging you not to smoke inside of businesses, especially restaurants. However, the restaurant business and wanting to lose customers would make a smoking section and non-smoking section, which really has fixed whatsoever, if you really think about it.
Right, those areas really smell.
It's going through the whole building. Whether you smoke or not, you're still getting secondhand smoke. Yes, I continue to smoke.
Did you have any ill effects from it, even at a young age? Like, did you wake up coughing?
Yeah, I noticed it probably in my early 40s is when I started noticing ill effects with mainly breathing issues.
And you weren't overweight? It was clearly from the smoking?
No, I wasn't overweight. In fact, I really didn't get 10 to 15 pounds overweight until I had the heart stent put in because I became less active because of some other heart issues that are going on where I can't exercise, which causes my heart to want to go into a defib, which is not good.
Right.
It was pre-heart attack mode.
But we'll get to that
get
in
to
a minute.
That.
So what happened was you were finding in the late 80s in Louisiana.
I was finding in the late 80s, early 90s is when I was still at least up until 1990. But we had to do these physicals every year, and we had to do you had to qualify by running and doing other stuff, you know, like push-ups, you know, the PT stuff, physical training stuff. And I was having a harder and harder time as I got older and continued to smoke and completing it in the times that they requested. And most of it was due to breathing issues that I was having. My cardio just would not come up no matter how much I tried to exercise to build it. The smoking is what I was able to attribute it to. It seemed to be the reason I was not able to get to the level that I needed to complete the task that I needed to do to qualify.
And you're in your 40s at this point?
I was in my 40s at that point, right. Mm-hmm. Late 30s, early 40s.
And what happens, I always think of that, what happens if you can't pass the physical, if you're a fireman, a police officer?
Well, they give you another chance, sometimes two more chances, and if not, then you're no longer employed with them.
Wow.
Other requirement for the job, yes. Yeah. Well, you have to be physically fit to handle this.
No, it would make sense, absolutely.
Yes, you know, it's a paramilitary type of industry, so it's very similar to the military in a lot of ways. Not as stringent as the military, obviously, but it is paramilitary.
So what happened when you failed?
Well, I would get short-winded, and I couldn't, like, it needed to run a mile and a half in so many minutes, and I was always over on the minutes because I was out of breath and couldn't breathe, and I would be coughing up this mucus, and it would fill my nose, and it would fill my lungs, and I want to pass out. You know?
Did you connect the two? Did you say, oh, this is because of smoking?
It took me a while, and I mean, your body tends to tell you what's wrong with you. if you listen to it.
Mm-hmm. But did you know that it was because of your smoking, or did you try?
Yes, I pretty much knew that's what it was. I mean, there was nothing else that I was doing in my life at that time that would have had that kind of effect.
Yeah, but sometimes people can be in denial anyway. But sounds like
well,
you
this
weren't.
Is true, very, very true. Right, you're right.
So, okay. So,
and I was in denial for years. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I was because I like the effect of smoking. I like the feeling of it. I like the taste of it. I liked all those things that come with smoking. You know.
And when you're young,
it wasn't
you're
so
not
much
really
being
affected.
Cool anymore. It just, you know, it seemed to solve my nervous issues sometimes if I had a stressful situation we were in after we'd want to smoke.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
There was reason to smoke for everything. Celebration,
being
upset, having a cup of coffee, having a glass of wine.
And don't get me wrong, police work can be very stressful at times, not all of the time, but you just never know. I mean, one minute you're sitting down in the patrol, you know, or you're out in patrol and doing what you're supposed to do, writing traffic tickets and checking buildings at night, and the next minute you're in the middle of a domestic fight that's just full-blown, and you're having to deal with this high-stress situation and being
sure.
able to resolve it, you know, without kind of...
And what happened next? So were you able to not pass, and did you get a second shot at it?
Well, I was... They were very lenient with me, and they allowed me to continue because I wasn't overweight. So mm-hmm. they knew it wasn't contributing to that. Of course, they asked that I quit smoking, so I couldn't quit, so I cut back, which had seemed to help.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't solve the problem
okay.
at all.
But did you pass the second time?
Like, yes, I did.
Okay.
But the issues cropped up on me again later in life when I had another industry that I was working for, which was charter bus driving.
Okay, so what happened when you, with the police department, I guess you... somehow skated through and you were able to, but wasn't even a wake up call saying,
It was, but I didn't take it serious, you know?
Right.
We tend not to, I mean, and your body will tell you when things are wrong, and it was telling me, but I wasn't listening. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want any part of it.
Right.
I was addicted to nicotine and I enjoyed the smoking too much to give it up.
Got it. So, what happened next? Like on your journey, did you, left the law enforcement?
Left law enforcement. At the time, I was living in South Carolina on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I moved back to Louisiana in 97.
And you're still smoking at this point?
I was still smoking at that point.
And did it increase over the years? Did it go from a pack and a half, to two, to two and a half?
In the end, it had increased.
Mm-hmm.
The 11 years that I drove charter buses, I can say that it increased during that period of time.
Were you able to smoke on the bus or no?
No. That was not allowed on the bus.
But
so,
I guess when
know,
people got off,
is,
you could go take
a... Well, and then what happens is when you get to the destination you're going to, or if you're on a long trip, let's say you're going from Montgomery, Alabama to New York City, and you're going to take a couple of breaks in between for fuel or food or whatever the group needs, when you make those stops, of course, what you're doing is chain smoking.
Right, and probably with other people.
You have nicotine in your system to hold you until the next stop, which is typically 4 to 6 hours.
Right, and probably with other people, too. We're going to come back and find out how Ray was able to stop, because he did. Well, he'll tell you about what he did. You're listening to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise McIntyre, your host. Please check us out on our website and sign up for our free newsletter at steppingoutradio.com, and also get our free app. It's brand new and it's great. We've been getting emails from people just saying they love it. They can take it with them anywhere. They bring it to the gym. They listen to stories like Ray's, and it's just very hopeful and inspirational stories, because let's think about it. If Ray at his age, after smoking all those years, can do something about it, then, you know, especially if you're younger or whoever you are, even me, I was able to do it, which I never thought I could. So it can be done. So we're going to come back with more of Ray's story on Steppin' Out Radio. Again, go to our website, steppingoutradio.com. We'll be right back. The words fall out. Welcome back to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise McIntyre, your host. and Stepping Out Radio. For those of you who have listened or for those of you who are new, we feature real people sharing their true stories of how they overcame and triumphed over different adversities in life or different challenges in life. And I have with me a great speaker who certainly overcame a huge challenge in life, and that was the challenge and addiction to nicotine, cigarette smoking, if you will, tobacco, whatever you want to call it, which is a problem. And I even see young people now smoking, and I'm like, oh, no, you know, because they're going to be faced with what I was faced with in Ray. But when we last left Ray, you know, he had some issues when he worked in law enforcement, but he was able to pass the physical. And then you went to work for charter buses and you would smoke, you know, at the stops. But then what happened next?
Well, at the age of 56, I was still driving charter buses.
Mm-hmm.
And I started feeling real well, I was, like, tired all the time, mm-hmm. and I wasn't sure what was going on with me. You know, I was getting up in age, but I wasn't sure what was going on. So I went to my general practitioner, and he did a little office EKG, and he said, the EKG rhythms are not right. He said, I'm going to send you to a cardiologist. So I went to the cardiologist, and he immediately scheduled, this was on a Thursday, he scheduled me that Monday. He said, either you're going to, there's no doubt you have blockage.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so either we're going to do one of three things. We'll either go in and see what the blockage is, which they went through my leg, not my chest.
Mm-hmm.
We go in with a catheter, and it should die, and they take a picture and see what's going on. He said, but he said, once I put you under, one of three things will happen. He said, either I'll wake you up and we will try to dissolve the blockage with medicine,
mm-hmm.
or he said, number two, I will put a stent in wherever the blockage is.
Mm-hmm.
If it requires more than two stents, he says, then I'll wake you up without anything done, and you'll schedule open heart surgery.
Oh, okay. You wouldn't be whisked. You wouldn't be whisked right away to open heart surgery. Okay.
No.
Okay.
I was going to have to reschedule that. So anyway, I was at the age of 56, and I had to have a heart stent operation for heart blockage. I was 99.9% on the right side.
And now, was it one artery?
Just
two?
One stent. I was lucky with just one stent,
mm-hmm.
but he said it was the longest stent he'd ever put in a human being. But anyway,
wow! But he opened it up.
In the consultation phase afterwards, you know, of course, he told me about going on a heart healthy diet and getting exercise and a few other things, and of course, on medication because now I got a stent in my body. So and I'm one. I don't like to take medication. I
mm-hmm.
don't like being on. You know,
what kind of medication do they give you? Like blood thinners for that?
Well, yeah, the blood thinners and some other stuff to keep the body from rejecting the stent.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But out of all those things that he told me, of course, one of them was quit smoking. He said, if you don't do any of the other stuff that I told you, he says the best thing that I can advise to you that will help you the most is to stop smoking.
Sure.
He said that if I didn't, I would probably die from the smoking side effects.
Hmm.
So not wanting to give up the nicotine I enjoyed, of course, I began the journey to find a replacement for cigarettes. I had tried the nicotine patch, but I found that the effects really leveled off quickly. It wasn't consistent and didn't seem to really curb the cravings. I even tried one of the quick pills. It
so
worked.
So in your mind, you didn't want to just give it up cold turkey. You wanted to find a way because you still like the effects.
Hard. And I'm not going to lie, my willpower is very weak.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's... I don't know. A lot of people's are. It's not. But anyway, go ahead. So,
well, I mean, some can do it and have no problems. I'm not one of those. But I even tried. I'm not going to name the brand, but there was a brand of a pill you could take that would help you to quit, and it did help.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the side effects of it.
Right.
So I was searching for something else. I then tried some of the American brands of the small tobacco pouches, such as, I don't know, can I name brand here?
It's better if you don't, but it's okay. But they didn't work.
I'll just say Bandits. I think most people don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay. So they didn't work.
Pouches. Right, and they didn't work. They seemed to help some, but I found that I was using quite a bit per day, and they were really not any cheaper than buying the cigarettes, even though they were fairly new at the time. But the amount that I was going through was equal enough to almost what I was paying.
Now, did you get your doctor's approval on this, too?
Initially, no.
Okay.
And later on, when I switched to this other product, yes.
Okay, what about the vape or whatever they call those things?
Those were not even out yet.
Okay.
At this time, the e-cigarettes were not out and the vapes were not out.
Because I see people doing that and there's...
Yes, I do too. I have quite a few friends that do that now.
Right. Okay, but tell us about your path, because this is your story.
Okay.
So
at the time, I was still a charter bus driver. Mm-hmm. And the company that I worked for, we did a lot of military troop moves from here like to Texas and some of the other bases. And on one occasion, when we were on a stop in between destinations, I noticed that a soldier was using a tobacco pouch that I didn't recognize the brand of. So I asked him about it. He told me it was new to the States, and it was General Swedish Snus. And he gave me a pouch to try. It was wintergreen flavored. And I noted that the pouch, number one, was larger than any of the American brands I had used.
So it's a pouch? The Snus, the Swedish Snus is like a pouch?
Right, it's like a little pouch.
Mm-hmm.
You can just tuck it up between your cheek and gum. The strength of the tobacco was stronger than I was accustomed to. However, I noted the pouch lasted for about 45 minutes to an hour. Which
okay.
Was longer. The American brands I had tried were only lasting about 15 minutes. So I inquired the soldier about the cost and was surprised to find out that they were way cheaper than what the American brands were selling for in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So thus began my search for the General Swedish Snus locally.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to searching for it, I did some research on my computer about General Snus, and specifically General Snus, Swedish Snus, Snus, if you mm-hmm. want to call it that.
Okay.
The information I found showed that the Snus had been used for almost 200 years in Sweden. I also found that the tobacco is processed differently than the American brands, and that the tobacco in Swedish Snus is air-dried, then ground and processed. American brands are fire or heat-dried, and then ground and chemical additives applied to preserve the product.
Okay.
The biggest difference there was the Swedish government was allowed to not allow anything but food-grade additive to be used in processing the Snus there, and health studies that I found showed a considerable less health risk in using the General Swedish Snus over the American processed brands.
Okay.
I was convinced that I had found a desirable product.
Got it.
That was about March of 2012, and I've been using the General Swedish Snus ever since.
And where do you get it? You get it online?
No, I'm able to get it locally, actually.
Oh, okay.
It was hard to find at first, but I was able to locate one of our local tobacco shops.
Mm-hmm.
And told them what I was looking for. They carried in limited supply, but once I told them I would be a regular user and how much I'd be using every 2 weeks, because I buy 2 weeks supply at a time.
Now, is it fit flavored?
Say again.
What does it taste like? What is it? Is it like?
Oh,
is
oh,
it
the,
like
the
tobacco?
One, the one that I buy is actually mint flavored. It tastes like mint.
Okay. And how often do you leave it in your mouth? The whole day, or just part of the day, or?
No, I typically during my waking hours, I have it in pretty much the whole time that I'm awake. Probably about 12 hours a day. A pouch will last about an hour.
And what's in it?
All of it. Flavor. It's got about 200 different tobaccos that are mixed in it, along with some flavoring, a little bit of sugar, and that's about it.
Okay, but the fact that there's tobacco in it, they're not afraid that it could cause oral cancer?
No, I was concerned about that, but from the studies that I saw that not just General Swedish Snus produced, but that the Swedish government produced, there was very little risk in that happening, or any other, say, a tummy
like or throat cancer, or
right.
And
okay,
what do they
right.
attribute that to? Just a different form of tobacco than the kind made here?
I think it's twofold. I think part of it is the type of tobacco they use and the way that it's processed.
Okay, so where do they get their tobacco from? Is it made over there? I wonder.
There, as far as I know.
Huh. And how long has it been out that you could really, or how long has Sweden had it out that you can really get? Has it been around a long time?
They've used it there for over 200 years.
Oh, okay. So then
so
they...
It's been around a long time, yeah.
So people can, if they're interested, can really go online and search that, yes. Research this.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and they can go to... I'm looking here.
You can either go to General Swedish Snus or just Google Swedish Snus in general.
And what's your life like now? How has your health improved?
Oh, it's much better. Much better.
In what way?
Things smell better. Things taste better. My overall health is better. I even asked my cardiologist about it when I was using it. He said, well, I at first he wasn't sure. And then later on in other visits, he told me that he checked it out himself. And he said he's not going to say that it's harmless. Of course, he would never say that because he's a doctor.
Right.
But he said, I would much rather use this product over other tobacco choices. is the way that it
Okay,
goes.
But in your mind or in your heart, do you hope to stop totally someday?
Yes.
Do you try to put the snus in maybe half a day instead, just so you can eventually try to be off of it?
For the last 3 months, I've been cutting back, trying to wean off the nicotine completely.
And is it hard, or is it not as hard with the snus?
It's hard, but I don't think it's as hard as it is would be quitting cigarettes.
Right. Well, it's hard to quit cigarettes for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, this is sort of more like harm reduction, I guess we want to say, too.
Yeah.
So, again, a lot of times, you know, people that we have on, it's totally abstinent-based. But if this is something that is helping your health until hopefully eventually you do quit altogether, if it worked for you, you know, why not? But I want to thank you for joining us, and we're going to up next have a doctor who's going to tell us all about it on Stepping Out Radio. Welcome back to Stepping Out Radio. I'm Denise McEntee, your host, and we just heard an incredible story of somebody who, you know, had a serious nicotine addiction, as many of us do. And if a lot of experts are correct, they say it's one of the hardest addictions to really overcome. I, too, quit smoking, as I had said earlier in the interview with Roy. But right now we have with us a very, you know, excited to introduce this topic, a very interesting and informative guest. His name is Dr. Brad Radu. He's a professor of medicine, and he holds an endowed chair in tobacco harm reduction research at the University of Louisville, James Graham Brown Cancer Center. For 20 years, he's been at the forefront of research, policy development regarding tobacco harm reduction, which really informs smokers who are unable or even unwilling to quit about how there are safer tobacco products like smokeless tobacco that we just talked about before with the Swedish snus and other ways, because harm reduction is certainly better than continuing to smoke. Dr. Radu also is the author of a book, and I urge you all to get it, called For Smokers Only, How Smokeless Tobacco Can Save Your Life. It's available at Amazon and Audible.com. And again, I would check it out for anybody that you know who you want to quit smoking. I know I wanted my mom to quit. That's why I quit. But for anybody, it's a great book. For Smokers Only, How Smokeless Tobacco Can Save Your Life. So welcome, Dr. Radu, to Stepping Out Radio.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
No, thank you for coming on. And we just had, usually our stories are people who, you know, when they overcome an addiction of sorts, it's usually they have to abstain from it. Which is usually the case with something like, you know, if you're truly alcoholic and that kind of thing. But with smoking, it was very interesting to hear the story that there are ways, if you really can quit, because many people just throw their hands up and say, well, forget it, you know, and they continue to smoke. So can you share with us your experience with tobacco harm reduction?
Well, as you said, it's all about the smoke. And it's the delivery system for nicotine that is what causes all of the diseases, the heart attacks and strokes, the cancer, the emphysema. So it's not the nicotine itself, which is really a fairly benign agent. In fact, nicotine can be used about as safely as caffeine if we consume it in a way that doesn't deliver all of the toxic chemicals that smoke delivers.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ray made a switch to a vastly safer delivery system of nicotine. And he's able to consume, he's able to satisfy his need for nicotine and tobacco
mm-hmm.
in a far safer form, so he's not at risk for all the diseases that smokers are at risk for.
Right, so it doesn't have to necessarily be an all-or-nothing thing. I mean, I guess the goal is, if you can, to quit like I did. But again, it wasn't easy, and I was telling Ray yesterday during the interview, because we're interviewing you today, that it is the hardest thing to do, because even today, if they came out with a cigarette that, if the Surgeon General's office came out with a study that said, oh, we made a mistake, tobacco smoking doesn't cause cancer and emphysema and all the other issues, I probably would smoke again. So that tells you, and that's being quit for close to 30 years. So what does that say about the addictive, you know, way of it? But so are you talking about, when you say harm reduction, like the patch? I know we specifically talked about, you know, the Swedish snus. And so what are the ways people who want to quit smoking and can't, what should they do? Like, what should they start out doing?
Well, what I tell people that are smoking is to switch delivery systems that don't involve smoke, so they're able to be satisfied by nicotine and tobacco if they consume it in literally any other way. That includes almost any of the smokeless tobacco products available throughout the U.S.
Okay.
We're talking about dip.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about chewing tobacco. We're talking about Swedish snus, which is also widely available here. And we're also talking about e-cigarettes, because e-cigarettes deliver a vapor of nicotine and some flavors,
right.
Again, without all of the thousands of toxic chemicals that are in smoke and ultimately cause diseases.
Now, what about oral cancer, though? And I'm sorry for interrupting, but what about, do these alternatives, I know the patch wouldn't cause oral cancer, but is there any, you're a researcher, is there any indication that it would cause oral cancer, an increase in oral cancer?
Well, I'm an oral and maxillofacial pathologist,
mm-hmm.
and one of my areas of expertise is mouth cancer.
Right.
And for many years, I taught my students, as I was taught, that smokeless tobacco, dip and chew, are high risks for mouth cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that what I was taught and what I was teaching is flat out wrong. In the U.S., people believe that smokeless tobacco causes mouth cancer. And the reality is, the research shows, and we're talking about two or three decades of research,
mm-hmm.
it shows that the risks are so small among smokeless tobacco users that we basically can't tell, we don't know if there's any significant elevated risk. Now, the way we've all come to believe this was from a study conducted back in 1981 in which they showed that smokeless tobacco had a somewhat elevated risk,
mm-hmm.
but it was a product that virtually nobody in the United States uses today.
Hmm.
It wasn't a dip product. It wasn't a chewing tobacco product. It was a very old powder dry snuff product that is virtually not even sold here anymore, or sold in such small quantities that nobody uses it.
Oh, okay.
Dippers and chewers don't have elevated risks for mouth cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And in my blog, Raw Do Tobacco Truth, I talk about those risks. I provide the scientific evidence for those risks. It's very, very small. And I also talk about the historical misinformation based on that 1980 study that has distorted the entire American conscience
mm-hmm.
with respect to smokeless tobacco and cancer.
And again, the blog is Radu Tobacco Truth, R-O-D-U, Tobacco Truth. Radu, I'm sorry. Now, were you ever a smoker? I'm just curious.
No, I wasn't. I've never had any interest in tobacco use, but don't take away my coffee.
Okay.
I'm a very, very avid coffee drinker. And, you know, that's why we see similar parallels, because caffeine is used very much like nicotine by millions of people,
right. But
we consume it in a safe delivery system. Coffee is relatively safe to consume over long periods of time.
Now, is there a nicotine pill? Is there a pill?
That's a great question. And the reason we can't take a nicotine pill mm-hmm. is that when nicotine hits your stomach, okay, if you just take a pill or you take it in a beverage, when nicotine goes to the stomach and hits the acid environment of the stomach, it can't be absorbed.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because you would think a pill would be really easy, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why the nicotine gum and the nicotine lozenges that are available as medicines,
mm-hmm.
and we certainly recommend those as well, although generally speaking, the nicotine medicines are very low dose, and they don't satisfy smokers.
Oh, interesting.
And this is because when those medicines were made, they were made to wean people completely to abstinence.
Yes.
So they were made to basically be substitutions over a short period of time.
I had friends that would have a few patches on, and that was unbelievable. We're going to have to stop
exactly.
it. You are so. I am going to tell the audience to definitely check out Dr. Radu's blog. Again, I'm going to give it out twice, so get a pen, because this is, you know, really, this was news to me, so that's why I wanted to do this interview especially, because we are, I guess we're under the assumption that, nope, not good. Don't, you know, you have to quit. And then people give up. So go to Radu Tobacco Truth. It's a great blog, R-O-D-U, Tobacco Truth. And Dr. Radu, we'd love to have you come on again and shed some more light onto this. So thank you for joining us.
Well, it's been a great pleasure, and I look forward to coming back.
Okay, have a great time. Take care. Bye-bye.